You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Facing the final day of judgment is an awesome thought, yet Jesus lovingly tells his followers to look forward to it.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord, as we observe the world, we see chaos, conflict, and confusion. Thou hast already set the day of the final judgment. Let us therefore, with a repentant heart, and with thy gift of faith, O Lord, always say, Amen, come Lord Jesus. We long for thine eternal city, O Lord, the one not made with human hands. In these last days may thy crucified and resurrected Son always be raised up before our eyes. Draw all men, O gracious Heavenly Father, unto thy saving Son, for it is by his stripes of suffering that our sinfulness is healed. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. The death of Jesus Christ was viciously violent, and the illegal trial that preceded the crucifixion was filled with hell-inspired human hate. One of the religious leaders kept asking Jesus all kinds of implicating and senseless questions. But the Bible records Jesus just kept silent. Finally, however, the high priest stood up. He said to Jesus, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus calmly answered by saying, You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. This answer outraged the high priest, and in pretended disgust he tore his robes. Then he asked the jeering crowd, What do you think? They answered and said, He is deserving of death. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what an irony. This is the greatest paradox of all of history. The guilty were condemning the innocent. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that Jesus might bring us to God. And behold what manner of love God has for all sinners, for the high priest 2,000 years ago, and for all of us yet today. You and I have done things that we know in our hearts are sinful, and yet in His inexplainable mercy, God's love is patient. God longs that we return to Him, for it was while we are yet sinners that God's grace is revealed to us through His Son's innocent suffering, His tragic death, and His victorious, hope-giving resurrection. That confrontation between the loving Savior and those who rejected Him at His trial was demonic, decisive, and direct. Nevertheless, rejection of Jesus Christ is not unique to that generation. There are those even today who still sinfully scorn the blessed Redeemer. Today, however, rejection of Jesus is often much more sophisticated and subtle. For example, look at the rejection of the Savior in many of today's casual marriages. One city's local newspaper recently carried a vivid description of the mockery of matrimony. Each Wednesday, a local community courtroom is turned into an assembly line wedding chapel. And from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, couples are married as rapidly as possible. It's like being at a catalog sales counter. And as they arrive, each couple takes a number. This allegedly prevents fights over who is next. Local judges preside. They call each couple by number. And in this way, the proceedings move along as quickly as possible. One judge proudly boasts that he has married 18 couples in only 20 minutes. The couples dress in suits and blue jeans, or maternity dresses, or whatever is necessary because of their condition. This parade of matrimonial buffoonery may sound clever and even amusing to some, but God is not pleased. In fact, God is extremely angry. Those who despise or make light of marriage make fun of God. And Jesus, who is God, has a high respect for matrimony. Marriages unite a man and a woman into one flesh. Jesus compared this oneness to the special relationship that he has with members of his own body, the church. Oh yes, in our text for today, the high priest casually and coldly made fun of Jesus Christ. Yet the Savior did not respond with vengeance as we in our life would expect. Instead, the Savior loved him and graciously warned him of the terrible judgment to come unless he would repent. And this same Savior now warns all those today who reject him by making light of the sacred institution of marriage or by contributing to the unhappiness in their home. Now let me ask you, how is it with you and your family? Is there a conflict between you and your brother or sister? Are you rebellious toward your parents? Husband or wife, is your marriage filled with conflict, tension, or even headed for the divorce court? If this is the case, then you had better wake up to what is going on around you before it is too late. God is still offering you another chance. There are today only two moral forces in the world, the power of good and the power of evil. And if you permit the destructive difficulties to have free course in your personal or public life, or in your marriage, then you are sinfully allowing the devil to be in control. And if he has this damning way with you, the evil one may well determine your eternal destiny. Oh, resolve this hour with God's power to turn to Christ that your life may be changed. Turn to your loving Lord in obedience and faith. And always remember, God is offering you the resurrection power you so desperately need to defeat the devil's designs and his evil intentions. And begin also to relate to your family in a new and loving way. Live with the absolute confidence that whoever seeks the Lord for help will never be turned away. Oh, always let yourself be a Christ-centered catalyst for love and demonstrate to your spouse and to your family members that Christ has forgiven you. Do this by forgiving them also. Then together, live each day in mutual love and forgiveness. Let your family live each hour with the joy and the peace found in the sin-cleansing, healing, and life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, rejoice each day as you live in your Savior's resurrection victory. And as you do this, get rid of all bitter antagonisms, as was shamefully expressed by the high priest at Christ's crucifixion trial. Just imagine this scene of human contradictions. Jesus loved Caiaphas in spite of his sin, just as Jesus loves us in spite of our sinful rebellion. But don't be fooled, Jesus said. Someday the tables are going to be turned. Jesus is going to be the judge, and those who have outwardly rejected him or made fun of him, or those who have remained indifferent to his teachings, shall be forever condemned. Yes, Jesus said, you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. This solemn warning seems ludicrous in an age when the righteous suffer and when evil triumphs. But don't be duped by the devil or misled by arrogant fools. Let us all heed God's holy and changeless word. Let us intently and obediently listen as the Bible proclaims, and I quote, "The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. the day of the Lord, the Bible declares, will come as a thief in the night. And on that day, there will be terrifying regret, and people will hopelessly grieve and be saying, why didn't I listen to the loving Savior? Oh, why did I continue to live in my sin? Oh, if I could just live life over again and do things differently. Those terrible days are vividly described in the book of Revelation. The condemned, those who have loved and lusted for the world and the things thereof instead of God, will cry out and say, and I quote, mountains and rocks fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? So, ladies and gentlemen and young people, this Sunday begins the season of the church year called Advent. For the next several Sundays preceding Christmas, Christian churches around the world will be once again celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Special pageants and concerts will be held. Participants will be reminded how Jesus came the first time to be born in Bethlehem. Thousands of sermons will be given, reminding listeners that Jesus Christ has promised to come again soon. Sad to say, however, for many people, the return of Jesus Christ as the final and righteous judge is a terrifying thought. But this does not have to be that way for you. Jesus wants you to look forward to the day of judgment with joy and great expectation. Listen closely as I read from the Bible, the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, and I quote, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth dismay among the nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world. For the powers, the Bible says, of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and great glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Listen to this, the clear words of Jesus. And Jesus said, and when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Yes, my friend, your sins have been paid for, and with the God-given faith grasping firmly the Savior's blood-bought pardon, you can live now each day with the assurance of God's eternal salvation. You can look forward to the day of judgment. Oh, be one of those who will rejoice at the coming of the Savior. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your sins were paid for on the crucifixion cross. Others may still remind you of your past failures and mistakes. Yet, when you by faith trust in the cleansing and healing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises to remember your sins no more. Your sins are gone, gone, as far as the east is from the west. And now live with hope and the joy in the assurance of this complete and divine pardon. Look forward to the day when Jesus will say to you, enter into my kingdom. And when you see Jesus, he will let you see the nail scars in his hands and the spear slash in his side. These wounds of the crucifixion are reminders of his sacrificial and unselfish love. They testify to the Savior's cruel suffering and death. For as the book of Hebrews proclaims, it was fitting that he, that Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of our salvation perfect through suffering. Yes, Jesus not only suffered and died, he was gloriously raised from the dead. And those now who obediently and faithfully follow the Savior shall also be likewise victoriously raised from the dead on that day. Then all believers in the Savior will be special guests of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Oh, it is indeed good for us today to study the trial of Jesus. In it, we see ourselves. Caiaphas, the high priest, was vicious toward Jesus, but we do the same thing. Our sinful lifestyles and our callous indifference to the Savior's call is the same as shamefully rejecting him. And just as Jesus lovingly warned Caiaphas, he is also reminding us, today we have another opportunity, and maybe our last opportunity, to return to his grace. Therefore, let us all hearken to the Savior's call and hasten to receive Jesus by faith. Let us now, with immeasurable anticipation and unending joy, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. For as many as receive Jesus, to them He, Jesus, gives the power to become the sons of God. Amen.